Well, this morning we're moving right along. This is the time for our meditation this morning. And I want you to pray with me. Loving and blessed God, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the word that you, O Lord, bring to us. For that word, O Lord, that you have brought to our attention, that we may hear, O God, what you have to say to us this morning. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, and speak to our understanding, O Lord. For we need to hear what you have to say to us, O Lord. Be with us, O God, and speak to our hearts. For we need to hear, O Lord, with our hearts, what you have for us this morning. Loving Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you repeat after me? Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Amen. Amen. During this season of Lent, we have been talking about stones. That has been the subject of our conversation, and in different ways, of course. For we have talked about what sin is and the meaning of sin. And with that, of course, we also have talked about the importance to realize that we live thanks to the fountain of forgiveness that God offers to us continually. God is always offering us that forgiveness, and we have talked about the importance of that forgiveness, because as we receive God's forgiveness, we're able to move on and to do the things that God wants us to do. We have talked about the importance of being committed to living what God wants us to live. We have talked about the idea that the Pharisees had an understanding of what was important, and Jesus reminded us that the important thing that the Pharisees know about, regrettably, they were not keeping, and that was that the important thing, the central thing of the law, was to do justice, amen, and to love like God loves. Now, and we said, of course, that is, of course, the greatest challenge, right? Because as we talk about loving like God loves, you can imagine that's not exactly the easiest thing to do, amen? But we heard that Jesus talked about that just simple understanding that if we are called to be like Jesus, of course, to be obedient to God, it means, of course, that we need to obey God, and so to do justice and to love like God loves. So we have been hearing some of the stories from the Scripture, and this morning we hear another story that brings a very important message for us. Usually people hear the story, and so we try to focus on the story, in what Jesus is saying to the disciples. And sometimes we try to focus on what Jesus says to the Pharisees. Well, I thought it would be good to do the focusing on the Pharisees, for we've been talking about the Pharisees all this time, right? I mean, I think since we began this conversation a few weeks ago, it seems to me that the Pharisees and the scribes seem to be the central point of the conversation. Amen? It's like everything we talked about is what has been going on in the minds of these folks. We have a story here that tells us that Jesus is walking now towards Jerusalem, and that's what we've been looking for. He's been walking towards Jerusalem, traveling, journeying towards Jerusalem. And we know that part of what we read a few weeks ago is that when Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, we know that he's traveling towards his death. Amen? That's what he's talking about. He told the disciples, when the disciples said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," Jesus says, "Oh, okay, you got that. Don't tell anybody. By the way, I'm going to Jerusalem where I'm going to be killed." And then, of course, Peter goes and says, "No way, right? You can't do that. You know, that's not the expectation we have about the Messiah. Our Messiah is supposed to be the one who comes to liberate the people. The Messiah is supposed to be the one who comes to conquer Jerusalem, not to be killed at Jerusalem." But here we have the story, and the story that Jesus is coming in now into Jerusalem, and he, of course, now is welcomed, well received. But it's important to highlight that the folks who are doing the shouting and the crying out loud happens to be also Jesus' disciples. Apparently, in this trip, and this trip that Jesus is taking with the disciples towards Jerusalem, there were also some people who were following Jesus. Not sure exactly how committed they were to following Jesus, but they were following Jesus. And in this case, particularly, we have the Pharisees who were part of the crowd. For you see, I'm hard-pressed to hear or to think that because the Pharisees are talking to Jesus in this fashion, telling Jesus, hey, tell the disciples to quiet down. You know, rebuke your disciples. You should not be screaming out loud, that kind of thing. And I'm going to explain that to you, why is that so important. But here you have the Pharisees who have been walking with Jesus. And here, they're concerned. They're concerned because what they hear the disciples proclaiming, they hear the disciples proclaiming that this is Jesus, the King. Look at this. A phone ringing from the pastor himself. How many times do you see this happening in church? Let me do this before it keeps ringing, because they will do that again. Okay, my apologies for that. That's why I'm so forgiving. I understand what happens. So, we have a wonderful story. And this Jesus who then is traveling with the disciples and the Pharisees, and he finds himself in this place now, and these Pharisees who come and challenge him and telling him, please, tell your disciples to keep it down. Now, you know, the critique that we have made of the Pharisees is that they just wanted to rebuke the disciples. They just wanted to do something because they were so incensed with the disciples telling that kind of thing. The passage doesn't give us that information. That is information that we have actually placed on the text. For the text is only telling us that they were concerned. And if you know, and if we know anything about the history of this period, to have a group of people, any group of people, coming into Jerusalem, which, you know, it is not only the seat of power for the Jewish state or for the Jewish government, but it was also a seat of government for the Roman Empire in this region. And so anybody who would challenge the Roman Empire by proclaiming that there is somebody else as a king, that is not Caesar, will not be well received. Amen? You understand, right? It's like coming to the U.S. and having somebody proclaiming himself or herself being the president, right? I'm just coming in, and I'm just, you know, and you have all the crowd of people in New York welcoming you, saying, you are the new president. This is the president coming here. And we know who the president is, right? So anything like that will be seen today with great suspicion. Amen? In the time of Jesus, it was not only seen with great suspicion, it will be reason enough to kill you. So the Pharisees are not simply concerned that the disciples are screaming out something that is a little bit, you know, difficult for them to understand or for them to grasp, but it's actually the fact that they're concerned because they understand the repercussions of what these folks are proclaiming. Tell them to quiet down. And of course, Jesus then comes and says to them, well, if they don't say it, the stones will say it. The stones will cry out loud, because it has to come out that the true King of Israel is here and that he's coming to town. Sometimes we feel like that. Sometimes I feel that, and I speak for myself, sometimes I feel like the Pharisees. Sometimes I am a Pharisee. And we've talked about this before. I mentioned this to you. I it's not a matter of saying to you that something that I don't see in myself. Sometimes I am a Pharisee. Sometimes I'm scared to say things and to do things because I know the repercussions that that will have in my life and the people around me. Sometimes I quiet down because I understand that what I'm going to say or what I'm called to say, what I want to say, but I'm afraid of saying it because there is going to be a negative consequence of what I'm going to say. So I do like the Pharisees. I actually pay attention to the Pharisees and quiet down. I know that the right thing to say is this. I know that this is what God wants me to say. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the repercussions. I'm afraid of what it's going to cause. I'm afraid of the cost to me. Sometimes we also have to come to terms with this reality of being disciples of Christ. Last week we talked about that idea of what is the meaning of Jesus for you? Amen? Last week we talked about that idea of what does Jesus mean for you, for the way you define Jesus in your life is going to be the way you're going to worship Jesus. The way you define Jesus is the way you're going to define who God is for you, and therefore is also the way you're going to live your life for Jesus. If you define Jesus as being the one you come to see in church every Sunday, then that's how you're going to see Jesus in your life, as the one who you come to see in church on Sundays. The one you expect to receive you and to give you a blessing on Sunday so you can live out your life in the world the way you want. And that's how sometimes people define Jesus. It's what Jesus does for me in church. So other people define Jesus in different ways. Here Jesus is telling the disciples, as we heard from last week, we're going down to Jerusalem. And going down to Jerusalem means that there's going to be a high cost. Are you willing to pay the cost? Here Jesus finds us today now telling us, hey, if you don't want to pay the price, God is going to lift somebody else to do it. God is going to raise somebody else to take the lead because somebody has to bring God's word into the world. If you are afraid of what is going to be the cost for your life to follow Christ, God is going to find somebody who's going to be willing to present God's word into the world. Are you that kind of person? Are you that disciple who will be willing to shout out loud? Who will be like these disciples who are coming into Jerusalem shouting out loud, here comes the King. Here comes the King, the one who is the rule over the world. Now for the disciples, that was just basically something for them and Jerusalem, for them and Israel, for them and Judaism. That was the whole world for them. That even they were not even clear that this was a message that was going to be for the whole world as we know today. Today, Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and we are called to proclaim who this Jesus is for us. What does this Jesus mean in our lives? What does the words of Jesus mean for each and every one of us who proclaim to be disciples of this Jesus? Are you going to be like the Pharisee who reasonably are scared? Or will you be like the crazy disciples that keeps shouting out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen? Are you going to be the reasonable ones, the ones who measure the consequences and understand the consequences and therefore want things to quiet down? Or you want to be like the crazy followers of Jesus who proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that proclaim that there is some way better to live, and that is the way of Jesus. But that way has consequences. That way of living of Jesus has indeed many consequences. That the way of Jesus actually may cost you something. That the way of Jesus may cost you your life. For that, my brothers and sisters, happen to be the demand of the gospel. That when we surrender completely to God, we are surrendering completely to God, even our lives. For our lives belong to God. So if our lives belong to God, we're just offering back to God. Amen? Sometimes we need Pharisees to remind us of the things that are hard, and also to remind us that Jesus is calling us to do more than the Pharisees are willing to do. Are you willing to do more? Are you willing to follow Jesus to the cross?